introduce Tom a little bit and say just a very few words, because there's actually going to be five of us speaking today. Everybody keep your seat. We should be out of here by 12, or not long after that. But I want to give you an update on baby Henry, a little more detail on that. Some of you don't know this because we didn't send out sort of the follow-up that happened after his birth. But after he was born, it became apparent that he was having a little bit of difficulty. Yeah, there he is. There's the lad. He was having some difficulty breathing, and his breathing was very shallow and rapid, and he was under some obvious stress. And so he was transferred to from Community Hospital to St. Mary's Hospital because they have a more developed intensive care infant unit there. And so they have been doing everything they can to alleviate the fluid that is in his lungs, which has caused this condition. There's actually a name for it, which I can't remember and I can't pronounce. But he has been getting a little bit better every day. And if you want to pray for him specifically, you can pray that he will be able to nurse and actually receive nourishment from the nursing. He's trying, but he hasn't been able to quite follow through with it. So continue to pray for him. He is improving a little bit every day, and we're hopeful that maybe in a couple of days he'll be able to come home. So apologize that we weren't able to get all this information out to you in the aftermath of that. But Sam and Britt obviously are not here today. They're at the hospital. Brittany's mom came up from Texas, and she's also here. You really can't go see them or visit them. It's really only for family. I can barely see them. They only let two people in, and when mom is in there's only one more spot. So I am going to try to go this afternoon. But if you would keep Sam and Britt, Henry and Kira in your prayers. And his name is Henry Lamar Walker, which I think is just a studly name. It's like one of the greatest names I've ever heard for a boy, but I'm not biased. So, all right. Well, this morning we are going to set in Les Parrish, Jeff Brantley as elders. And before we start that process, I want to introduce Tom to you. This is my friend, Tom Hall. I've known Tom, actually known him. We've been acquainted for a number of years. We've gotten to know each other much better in the last few years. Tom ministers in an apostolic role with Kerygma Network. Kerygma Network is the network of churches that our church is a part of. Can you tell me, Tom, how many churches and ministries are in it? Does anybody know? I want to say 40 or 50, something like that. Okay. And Tom's role, this apostolic, and that's apostolic with a small a, not a capital A. It's a small a. That simply means that Tom exercises influence and, to greater or lesser degrees, depending on the church, oversight in multiple church settings. There are several churches that look to him for guidance and counsel, for help, sometimes for extended times of ministry and preaching and teaching, counseling, things like that. So part of what Tom does in conjunction with the Kerygma Network is he travels and he goes to various churches and fulfills this glorious role, which is actually spelled out for us in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 4, and other places as well. And I've come to appreciate Tom because, first of all, he loves God a lot. If you talk to him, you'll find that out. He loves God a lot. He is very wise. He's very humble. He would never say these things about himself. So I will say them so that you will know, in case you don't get to talk to him. I respect his opinion. I respect his wisdom. I respect the way he handles the scripture. He understands the gospel of Jesus. And we are privileged to have him here today to assist and to be a part of the installation of our elders. And the reason we wanted to ask Tom to come is because if you read the New Testament, you see in the books of Titus and in 1 Timothy and also in the book of Acts that the apostles, particularly the apostle Paul, would give the assignment to Titus, or the assignment to Timothy, to appoint elders in every church and to set things in order. So there is an apostolic participation in the setting in of local church leadership that is to be desired and invited. It's not about a formula. It's about the order of the kingdom. It's about how God has designed for things to be in his church. And that's not to say you can't have elders in a church without some form of apostolic participation, but it's just better to have it than not have it. So Tom is here today, and he is going, I'm going to speak for a very short period of time. Tom is going to have the bulk of the teaching time. And then we are going to hear from Rick, and Rick is going to represent you as the congregation. And he is going to give a word of affirmation on behalf of the congregation for what we are doing here today. And then we're going to hear briefly from Les and from Jeff. And then we're going to pray over them and then invite all of us to pray over them. And then we're going to celebrate God's goodness in blessing us with shepherds. And let me just say this too about the role of the elder. One of the mistakes that churches make more often than we probably want to admit is when we do things like this in the church, we tend to attach titles to people and hope they'll live up to it. In other words, we'll attach a title of an elder or a deacon or a bishop or a pastor on somebody, and then we kind of hope they grow into it. Well, that is not the way it's designed to work. The offices and the roles that God has established and ordained in his church, there are character qualifications, and there are things that's clear that they are to be about and that they are to give their lives to and things that they are to do. So when we are recognizing Jeff and recognizing Les as elders in the church, we're not doing this hoping they'll start being that. What we are doing is we are recognizing them for what they are already doing, and we are affirming it. Now, does everybody understand the distinction I'm making there? This is very important. We're simply recognizing their shepherding gift that's already taking place. They don't have to start living up to it. They're already doing it. So that's what this is about this morning. I also am appreciative to Tom that he's here today, and I meant to say this when I was talking about him. He also has, 30-plus years in pastoral ministry? So he's functioned and served as a pastor, so he knows how these things work and operate. He's worked with elders, and for good or for bad, and he's been around the block a few times. So we're glad he's here to be a part of that as we recognize Jeff and Les for their ministries. So what I'd like for you to do, if you would, and I'm just going to take a couple of minutes here, look at two scriptures. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. We're going to read verses 20 and 21. Before I read, I want to point out that the primary function of an elder, and we talked about this last week. If you missed last week, I preached for 40 minutes on the role and ministry of the elder in the church. And so you can catch up there. And I would encourage you to avail yourself of all of our messages are posted online on the internet. It's valleychurchgj.com, I believe, and it's under the media tab or sermons tab. You can find all of our content there. But the role of the elder is a shepherd. The role of the elder is not a trustee. It's not somebody who renders decisions from far off. It's not someone who's called an elder because they're loud or they're a businessman or anything like that. It's someone who is a shepherd of God's people. Now let's read Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing to do equip you with every good to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I'd like for you to focus on that phrase, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. He equates in this particular text intimately the resurrection of Jesus to Jesus as the shepherd of his sheep. Jesus is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And in this text, he is called the great shepherd. Now, there are many, many descriptions of Jesus in the New Testament, in the scriptures. There's Lord, Savior, Brother, Redeemer. On and on we could go. But he's also called a shepherd. He called himself the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And there is something about this shepherd metaphor, this shepherd image, to me that I love, because when you think of shepherds and what they do, it means, first of all, that we are kept, that we are fed, that we are protected, that we are led, and that we are loved. So much so that this great shepherd, capital G, capital S, lays down his life for the sheep. Okay. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Because we are now going to go downstream of Jesus as the great shepherd to the elders of the church, extending and participating in the shepherding ministry of Jesus in the local church. Okay, you see the progression? Jesus, the great shepherd. Elders of the church are called shepherds. Now this is, I love this text. Let's just read it. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Oh, that's a sermon right there. There is glory to be revealed. There is glory now. There is glory to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. For when the chief shepherd appears, here Jesus is called the chief shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd. Do you think this might be an important image? This might be an important picture of who Christ is. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So, the elders of the church are to live out, demonstrate, participate in, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through lives that are godly and through characters that are being transformed in the image of Jesus, they are to participate in and reveal the shepherding ministry of Jesus in the local church, which means Les and Jeff and myself and others, potentially, they are to keep the church and protect the church, to feed the church, to bless the church, to love the church, to even lay down their lives for the church. This is not just a formality. This is just not a religious procedure. This is, if we could say it this way, an affirmation of the gift of God to the local church. Because your elders are God's gift to you. And we have a responsibility to care for you, to love you, to protect you, to feed you, even to lay down our lives for you. So that's what this is about. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, take these words. May they go deep into our heart, into our mind. Lord, may we pray for our elders and our leaders. And we thank you for this moment today where we can affirm them. In Jesus' name, amen. Tom, would you come?
My dad was a pastor at the time, and my five-year-old sister was at church, and they asked her, "What do you think of your little brother?" And she said, "He's nice, but he's really loud." And that's kind of been my MO ever since. So, yeah, now this will be hot, right? As soon as we go. So anyhow, what I want us to see in this passage together is that God has something he wants to do among us that a well-functioning eldership plays a vital role in realizing. Okay? So most of you will know a little bit about the book of 1 Thessalonians. It may be the earliest letter Paul wrote. If Galatians isn't, 1 Thessalonians is. We know quite a bit about the beginnings of the Thessalonian church because the book of Acts tells us about it and tells us that when Paul and his ministry cohort were in Thessalonica, they only got to be there several weeks at the most, maybe 10 or 12 weeks before they got run out of town. And in 10 or 12 weeks, they preached the gospel. People believed it. People reacted against it. And in a matter of weeks, maybe a few months, they were able to be run out of town knowing that a real expression of the body of Christ was happening in that town. I want more of that, don't you? And but Paul, imagine the heart of Paul. So he's separated from these new Christians, some of whom have lots of background in the Old Testament scriptures, and some of those were appointed as elders before they left. But here's Paul, man. All he wants to know is that they're doing okay. And that's really the letter 1 Thessalonians includes a strong, man, I just want to know you guys are okay. He's gotten a good report from Timothy, his deputy, and Timothy's come back and given him a good report, and he's responding to that good report. That's what's going on in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And then when he gets toward the end, okay, so he's kind of attaching the last impressions he wants the public reading of his letter to make. And so we're going to pick it up at verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil." Now, the reason I read that longer passage is I want you to notice, first of all, with me, that from verse 14 to verse 22 is addressed to a community. Would everybody agree on that with me? Now, how many of you have heard some great teaching from some of these verses that were addressed primarily to you as an individual? Okay, I just read some of our favorite verses. Some of us love these as memory verses because they were really short. Right? They're toward the end of that passage. But we also love them because they're very helpful. And they have given us, those of us who've been in the Lord for a while, they've given us really helpful buoys working our way into the harbor, right? to guide us. But you know what? Before they're addressed to you individually, they're addressed to the community you're a part of. Would you agree with me on that? Now, let me ask you this question. And you can take time to read it more carefully later. But if I read verses 14 through 22, that's a community I'd like to be part of. Would you? I'm hungry for that. Man, my heart longs for it. And you know what? I know other people who long for that kind of community. I know people who don't think much of Jesus who'd love to be a part of that kind of community. I know people who are burned out on church who would love to be a part of this kind of community. Why? Because when we're honest with ourselves, even out here in the Mountain West, when we're honest with ourselves, we know we need people. Right? When our hearts are lonely, when things are hard, and we'd like to just know somebody is in it with us, we know we need somebody. But honestly, most of the people who volunteer aren't the people I need. Or maybe that's just me. But man, people who would do this, I mean, look at it with me again more carefully, starting with verse 14. We exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. I can be lazy. I need reminders. I need warnings. Comfort the discouraged. Wow, do I need that one. One of my main gifts is encouraging, and you would not believe how discouraged an encourager can get. Some of you would believe it because you experience it. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Who doesn't want to be a part of that community? Who doesn't want to be a part of a group of people who are tuned into each other and know which one of those you are on a given day? Yes? Some of us grew up in families like that. Most of us didn't. And so we need to be refamilied. Right? And a lot of the people we want to reach for Jesus need to be refamilied. They have no experience of this. Keep reading with me. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Though it's not the primary address of this passage, that verse right there, verse 15, makes a great mission statement for parents. Wouldn't you say? Isn't that what parents are trying to accomplish in their homes? We're just trying to teach our kids not to kill each other and help each other along. Right? Let's avoid fratricide, and let's encourage mutually helping each other accomplish, right? That's a great mission statement for parents. Is it an accident that the apostle is saying to the church, somebody's got to be paying attention to this? This does not happen automatically. Sorry. This doesn't happen automatically. This happens intentionally. Someone pays attention. And the someones who pay attention include, not limited to, but include your elders. There's somebody whose job it is to keep their thumb on the pulse of this community. And there's someone whose job it is to see to it, ideally, that you guys become really good at warning and comforting and helping and being patient with each other. And while you're learning how to do it, they'll show you how to do it. And they'll help create an atmosphere. And by the way, I'm not implying that it's not here. I'm just, if you're like me, you want more. Experiencing a little just makes me want more. And I want so much of it that we can export it. Because I believe exported Christian community attracts people to Jesus who don't know Him. Particularly people who've had previous negative experiences with churches and religious things. Right? So, I won't read through them, but all of those little brief pithy exhortations in verses 16 and following, those are descriptions of the right kind of healthy Christian community and what we do for each other, right? When you start to get complainy, I remind you to give thanks, and you do the same for me. When God is speaking to us prophetically, I remind you not to be cynical. And you do the same for me, right? So I'm reading this passage as primarily a community passage. And then with that in mind, if you go back up to verses 12 and 13, you read it a little bit differently.
ask you, brothers and sisters, give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you. You better know who these people are. You better know who the catalysts of Christian community in your midst happen to be. And sometimes these people have an office, and many times they don't. How many of you have ever worked or been a part, worked in or been a part of an organization when some of the most influential people in the organization do not and never have held an office? But you better have them on board with anything you want to do. Right? I think that's what Paul's describing here. He's describing people who have influence with or without a title, with or without an office, which is what Jeff was describing to you. Listen, I don't get, and I'm not flattering you because I'm not a flatterer. I get to work with a number of churches, and I've been around churches all of my life. Your church is blessed that you have more of these people, male and female, than you need at this time for offices. Not every church can say that. I promise you. You are blessed. But that doesn't mean you don't need everybody doing this. Right? You just happen to be blessed that you have, I would say what you have is adequate, and most of the churches I deal with are scraping for anybody even who rightly belongs in this office. But notice that Paul puts the emphasis, and I think Greg, Jeff was also work with a pastor named Greg, and I keep calling Jeff Greg. Notice Paul uses verbs to describe their function, not nouns to describe their badge. Okay, so we live in a culture that's very badge conscious. Right? And the scriptures are not terribly badge conscious. The scriptures are verb conscious, function conscious. You have people who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and you are blessed. It's partially because they do that your community does approximate the verses that I read to you later in this paragraph. Does that make sense to you? And so today, as we set these men in their role of not only the function, but also the office, we're recognizing them, correct? We're recognizing them. And then the next thing in verse 13, regard them very highly in love because of their badge. Oh, no, I misread that. What does your Bible say? Because of their work. Aren't you grateful that somebody is willing to labor and lead and admonish? Admonish means get in your face when you need your face gotten into. Okay? How many of you know more Bible than you do? That's one of the reasons you need admonishers. And when you have admonishers that do it silently and invisibly and unobtrusively and without a title, those are the people you trust with a title. Does that make sense? So I just want to affirm not only these men, as I've gotten to know them a little bit, spent the day with not only them, but a larger group of men yesterday that in the evening with their wives, and it's just been wonderful for me to connect. But I hope your heart is glad. I hope your heart is glad that this moment has come. And I hope your heart is grateful that they and others have been doing this work up to now, and that they are going to be, for a season, the recognized people, while others continue to function as well, okay? It's not either or, it's both and. And then I want to just call your attention before I yield the floor. The end of verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. Now, because I'm also a public communicator, I speak and I write, I give Paul the benefit of the doubt that he doesn't say things randomly, because I want my hearers and readers to give me that benefit of the doubt. Sometimes I'll say things that are perfectly connected in my mind, but my hearers don't see the connection. Does that ever happen to you? Does that statement seem like a bit of a flat spot on the wheel to you? Be at peace among yourselves, right? So this is not just, you know, mom standing up on the dining room chair and hollering, "Hush, all you." That's not what the apostle's doing here. What he's saying is that this shalom of God, this blessedness, this well-being, this lived out community that represents Christ and his rule in a show and tell way to the lost world. The peace, listen, Jeff used this language yesterday, or used similar language yesterday. I heard somebody say years ago, every church and every Christian home is an embassy of the kingdom of heaven. Every church and every Christian home is an embassy of the kingdom of heaven, where people ought to be able to see how another king, another kingdom operates. And on the grounds of that embassy, a whole new constitution, in our language, a whole new government holds sway. That's what it means to be at peace among yourselves. It means you're living by the ethic of heaven, surrounded by every other ethic available. Right? You won't do that. So two things have to happen here today. One is for you to have these kind of people, and the second is for you to recognize them and regard them. So if that's an act of repentance for you, I invite you to repent. If you have a hard time giving that kind of influence to other people in your life, get over yourself and do it, because you need it. The Father wouldn't have given it to you if you didn't need it. Agreed? And then for many of you, it's not going to be so much an act of repentance, it's just an act of glad fulfillment. And I hope that our joy, Les and Jeff, in receiving you in this role will be a strength to you as you fulfill what God's called you to do. Thank God for his word. Amen. Rick?
Okay, I am going to be brief, and again, as Jeff said, I'm kind of acting as your representative up here. I didn't give the scriptures, but I just want to read a couple of scriptures to you out of Hebrews 13. This is some direction from Paul on, you know, how the flock should be with their leaders. So, verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So, you know, first of all, I'm very thankful for these two men. And, you know, I'm gonna say some things of affirmation about this whole deal, because I really believe that. And I do think that you will all agree with me on everything I'm going to say. But first of all, both men have shown strong godly character. I think everybody would agree. They are both kind, compassionate, and humble. They both exhibit godly wisdom and maturity. Both of them hold the word of God in high esteem. Both of them are able teachers. and they have acted as shepherds. It's not something that they're going to have to work into. They've already done it, and they've been doing it, protecting and feeding the flock. Most importantly, both of them have exhibited a love and devotion for Jesus Christ consistently. So, to speak for myself, but also hopefully for all of you here, I'm going to ask all of us to commit to something that is goes along with Paul's direction for us. So we commit to remember you both in our prayers. We commit to watch you and imitate your faith. We commit to obey and submit to your leadership as you watch over our souls. And we also pray that you will, that we will allow you to do your work and support you in this so that you may have great joy. So that is all I have, but I appreciate both of you very, very much.
Amen. Thanks, Rick. Just want to say a few things here. I don't think of all the times that I've been involved with different leadership, I have felt the most heaviness in becoming an elder here. And heaviness in a good way. I just feel the soberness, the seriousness of it. In Romans 12, it says, "For the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly." And then 1 Corinthians 12:18, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired." And as probably 15 months ago, God started speaking to me about, I've been involved in this body, but he started convicting me that I needed to step up a little bit more. You know, I needed to be involved in his kingdom a little bit more. And I didn't really understand what that meant. And as I prayed and as I really sought God and desired to draw closer to him, for him to be the first love of my life, not to be caught up in just doing things, but in loving him. And then Pastor Jeff came to me and asked if I would consider becoming an elder. And as I prayed about it, I just felt like this was the right thing for me to do. And it was the right time for me to do this. And I felt that that was a confirmation of what God had been speaking to me about. And I know Jeremy shared this one of the times that he was here. And this has become really an important verse for me, or a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." And I feel the seriousness of living my life for him, forgetting about myself, but looking to him and looking to others and being the example. And we're living in a world that really, you know, doesn't want to be example for good things. Even in the church, we see that. And I just want you to know that I'm committed to be an example of Christ to the best of my ability. I do request your prayers because I do feel the heaviness of it. But I want to do this in joy. I cannot do this without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I covet all of your prayers. And with that, let Jeff come up here.
Thank you, Les. Yeah, I want to echo some of what Les said and his heart as well. When Jeff asked me to pray about this and think about it, you know, to see if this was something that I felt that I should aspire to do. There were two things that were kind of central in my thinking and prayers, and one of them was just my thankfulness for this church, this body of believers here, and just my love and appreciation for the expression of Jesus Christ and the expression of the gospel and the way the gospel is presented and represented here, and each of you, just Robin and our family. I think we've been here about 15 years, and I just love what Valley Church represents, and just what I've how I've grown as a believer through being here. And so that was central in my mind. And the other thing was just a desire to come alongside and support Jeff and to be a help to him. And in that process, I had to repent of some of my thinking, where I never would have spoken this out loud, but I kind of had the attitude that, you know, certain things were Jeff's job, you know, he's things, you know, that he gets paid to do as the pastor. And I just had to repent of that and realize, you know, whether I'm an elder or not, there's certain things that all of us need to be doing that are just part of body ministry and ministering to each other as the Lord, as believers together, serving the Lord. And so so once I, you know, went through that process, I, you know, felt it was something that the Lord wanted me to do. And so as I'm accepting this role, it's out of a desire to serve the body here and to do that in humility, to serve each of you however the Lord leads. I'm sure it's going to be more than we know now. And then to come alongside Jeff and Les as a team and to serve the Lord together and to shepherd together. And we, in preparation for this, the last couple of months, we read through a book that I would actually recommend any of you reading. It's called Church Elders by Jeremy. I always think Jeremy Renner, and I know it's not him. Jeremy, something with an R. Anyway. An excellent book on what shepherding is all about in the church. But I had to admit, reading through that book, it was a lot bigger responsibility than I thought it was. You know, even, you know, as Jeff said, even though maybe we had been serving in those roles already, I just was really intimidated and humbled by what it really means to be a shepherd in the body. And so as I say this, I echo what Les said, we really covet your prayers. We really need your prayers, because this is something that we can't do in our own strength. And we really need the Lord to help us to shepherd the way he would like us to shepherd. And Tom said something yesterday that I had been thinking as well, that, you know, when God gives us a responsibility, he also gives us all of the resources that we need for that responsibility. So as we're praying for you and praying that God would do his work in your lives and in our body, we ask that you would also pray for us, and that he would give us all the resources, and that, you know, as he's called us to this, that he would also equip us and give us all the resources that we need. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Jeff. And Les, okay, at this time, Steve, would you come and move this podium over there, please? Jeff and Les, would you come and take a seat? And we just want to pray over you. First, I'm going to pray, And then Tom is going to pray, and then we're going to ask whoever of you want to come up and just join us. We're not going to draw this out for super, super long. I don't think that that's necessary, but this is very important that we pray over them and ask for the Father's blessing and the Father's power through the Holy Spirit to manifest in these men's lives. Father, I thank you for Les Parrish. I thank you for this man who loves you, who walks with you, who desires to grow more and more into a deeper understanding of the gospel of Christ. I thank you for his wife, Betty. I thank you for what you're doing in her. I thank you for their family. Lord, I ask you to fill him with the Holy Spirit and with power, with great wisdom and discernment. I pray, Lord, that you would fully equip him in every way to fulfill the task that you've called him to do. May your kingdom come and may your will be done in his heart and in his mind. And I pray, Lord, that he would find great joy in his task and in his assignment, in Jesus' name. May he find great favor with all the people of God. May their hearts be open to him. And Lord, I ask you to protect him from the schemes of the devil, yes, and that Christ would be exalted in all things in his life, in Jesus' name. Yes. Lord, I pray for Jeff Brantley. I thank you for this man who loves you, who walks with you, who studies your word, who loves the gospel of Jesus. Thank you for his wife, Robin. I ask you to bless her and to bless their household, to bless Jeremy and India and their whole family. Father, I ask you to equip him in every way. I ask you to fill him with your spirit, his mind, his heart, his entire life with your power. Lord, I thank you that you have promised every resource to him to fulfill the task to which you have called him. I ask you to give him favor with all the people. I pray, Lord, that you would protect him from the schemes of the evil one, and that he would shepherd the flock of God with great joy in his heart and a sense of calling. And Lord, I pray he would flourish in his faith in everything that he does. I thank you for this man. May your grace, mercy, peace, joy, and power rest upon him. In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Lord God, I thank you for the gift that these men and their wives are to this church. I thank you, Lord, for all the things they've been and done that have edified this community and have delighted you and honored the Lord Jesus. Lord, in this moment, we ask you to increase the anointing that goes with this public recognition of their responsibilities. Lord, we ask you to fill and refresh them by your Holy Spirit. We ask you to reveal to them the treasures, the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, they would be more enamored of you than they've ever been in their lives,
yes,
and more delighted to share with others what they see. Lord, I pray that each of them, because they are not novices in the faith, nor novices in life, that you would give them the grace to work smart and not just work hard as they invest in other people's lives. I pray, Lord, that Betty and Robin would be the first beneficiaries of this new assignment and not the first casualties. We ask for grace that extends to them and their dreams as married couples and the unfulfilled parts of their life together that you've shown them and they've not yet seen. Bless in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I announce to you that in fulfillment of these new responsibilities, you're not going to have to remember what you know, but that the Holy Spirit is going to bring it to mind. You are going to be able to function in response to people,
yes, sir,
more effectively, more adeptly, more wisely than even you have up to now. And the Holy Spirit is going to be like a caddy handing you the right club for every shot just before you make it. And I want you to lean into that, and I want you to rest in it and trust all that Jesus has taught you up to this point. Not that he won't keep teaching you, but trust what he has taught you and trust the Holy Spirit to put in your hand the tool you need as you reach into people's lives. And Jeff, I announce to you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you are going to find great dexterity. You're going to find great aplomb in leading and loving simultaneously. That you will not have to choose between leading and loving, but that in various arenas of life, your Lord Jesus has equipped you in both, and he will show you how to do both when it's called for in your influence on individuals and your influence on this community. And I affirm what's in your heart to lead lovingly, but to lead. I affirm it in the name of the Lord Jesus. He put that in you. He's calling it out of you. And you're going to enjoy the expression of it, because his callings on us are not just callings to effectiveness. They're callings to enjoyment. And that's what he's calling you to. And so I bless you, men, as my brothers in Christ and as my fellow laborers in his vineyard. Amen.
What I'd like for you to do is invite you to stand up. Those of you who feel inclined, let's just press in a little closer. Feel free. Somebody lead out. And I am standing here as a sheep in this flock, representing you. And this is the congregation participating and saying their yes and amen.
Yes.
To what we are doing today. And then I'm going to ask Bo to close it in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time, for this public affirmation of the goodness of who you are, for the gift that you've bestowed upon us in the pastoral and eldering and shepherding ministry of these men to us. And we receive it with great joy.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Lord, stir us in our hearts to pray.
Yes, Lord.
And to undergird and to uphold and to follow them in Jesus' name. May they have great wisdom, great skill, great joy. May they be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a church, as a sheep in this church, I say thank you for their leadership in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for Les and Jeff. Lord, I thank you for the faithful examples that they have been to me, to my family, to us. Lord, I thank you that they first love you and are faithful to you. And secondly, Lord, that they love their families, their wives and their children. And then, Lord, they have loved us, the body, their brothers and sisters in the church. I thank you for their love. Lord, I have felt it. My family has felt it. And for their wisdom, for their words of, Lord, they speak out of their own experiences and walk with you.
Yes.
And what you've taught them. And so I thank you for that. Thank you for their work in their lives. And I agree with the prayers and bless the words that have been spoken over them. Lord, I look forward to being a recipient, Father, of their heightened sensitivity to you and your Holy Spirit, their greater joy, their faith that we believe will be growing. Lord, I just also pray and prophesy that they will walk in joy. Great faith and wisdom. Lord, give them, Holy Spirit, give them your words, your heart, to speak to Jeff. Speak words of life to Jeff and Laura, to speak your words of life to us, to to lead us, Lord, and may we be a joy to them, not a burden.